Good evening. This is our second session tonight.
Besides the one that was in the Marine Sanctuary. The class is called What's Love Got to Do with It? Do you feel worn out at the end of every day? Or first thing in the morning? Is there no amount of coffee that will keep you focused and energized? Do you love where you serve but feel like it's sucking the life out of you? Are you wondering if burnout has claimed your life too? If so, you're in the right place. Erin Robson is a coach, counselor, and speaker, growing up with a strong sense of loyalty and service. She has spent many years learning how to keep her own battery from running out. Erin collects scarves and kitchenware and struggles with fear and perfectionism. Please welcome expert gabber, movie lover, and the woman who will never be tan, Ms. Erin Robson. You're welcome.
So glad you guys are here. Did you have a good first session?
Did.
Yeah? Good. Awesome. Okay. So how many of you have ever had a guest come to your home? Okay. And what is usually the first thing that you do when they get there?
Show them around.
Okay. And after that, what do you do?
I take their purse first.
Okay. You take their purse. You show them around.
Ask if they're thirsty or hungry.
You ask them if they're thirsty or hungry, right? Mm-hmm. Can I get you something to drink? And usually the person will say, oh, I'd love a glass of water. So you go and you grab your glass of water, grab your glass and your pitcher, and you say, great, I'm going to get you a glass of water. So you fill it up. Thanks so much for coming, right? You give them their glass of water, right? So then somebody else shows up. Maybe they're expected, maybe they're not. Maybe they came with this person. They come in, show them around, you take their purse, then what do?
I introduce them.
You introduce them, okay? Great, that's great.
Ask them if they're hungry.
And then you ask them, can I get you anything to eat or drink, right? And usually they'll say, oh, I'd love a glass of water. So you go, you get another glass. I'm going to give you a glass of water because Johnny over there, he's got some water. And I know you're really thirsty. So you fill up their glass. You give them a glass of water, right? Not my pitcher. Somebody else shows up. They come to you. You show them around. You take their purse. You introduce them. Would you like a glass of water? You want something to drink? I'd love something to drink. I'd love to give you something to drink. Uh-oh. I'm out of water. So you go in. You go in the kitchen, you scrounge around, you're looking for something to give them something else to drink, and this is what you find. Not going to make much difference to your guest, is it? If you don't have anything to give, then you don't have anything to give. It's really important when you're in ministry that you're taking care of yourself so that as you're giving to others, you have something to offer. Because it's a lot of work. And it doesn't matter if it's ministry or if it's your home, if it's your work, if it's with your friends. You have to be refilling your own pitcher in order to have something to give to other people. So tonight, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how do you take care of yourself so that you can have the ability to take care of other people. Now, this is a little bit heretical, especially for women, because women, many of us have grown up with this idea that I'm supposed to do it all and not complain, especially if you're a mom. And men and dads, they don't get that message quite as much. I think there's men, I think you guys do a little bit better job at having some boundaries. Whereas a lot of times for us women, we really struggle with that. And it's not just about boundaries. It's just simply knowing how to recharge our batteries. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So Albert Schweitzer was a German. He was a musician. He was a famous violinist, I believe. And he decided he wanted to go onto the mission field. And he actually went back to school and got his medical degree and became a doctor. He went to Africa. He opened a hospital in Africa. that was a thriving, wonderful hospital that served a lot of people until his death. And what he said that was really powerful is that he said, I don't know what your story will be, but what I know is the ones of you who seek and find how to serve will be the ones who are truly happy. He knew how important service was. In the scriptures, Matthew 22, the Pharisees are trying to trap Jesus and they say, which one is the most important commandment? And they're thinking, he'll never be able to tell us, right? And Jesus says to them, the first commandment is to love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In Matthew 25, as they're talking about loving people, he says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. In this chapter, they're saying, but Lord, when did we do this for you? When we didn't see you, we didn't do this for you. And Jesus is saying, when you took care of the homeless man, when you took care of the widow, when you took care of the poor, when you took care of the sick, you took care of me, right? And then finally, in Matthew 25, we hear about the parable of the talents, where the master comes and he gives three servants talents. And he says to them, take care of these while I'm gone. And he goes away. And when he returns, the first servant has taken the talents and he has doubled them. And the master says, well done, good and faithful servant. The second servant has taken the talents and he's 1.5 times the money that the talent gave that the master gave him. And the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant. The third servant comes to him and says, Master, Master, I knew you were a hard man. You reaped where you did not sow, and I was afraid of you, and so I took the talents and I buried them in the ground. And the master says, you lazy, wicked servant. Out into the night, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth, you didn't take care of what I gave you. The Lord tells us to love others. He tells us to serve. He tells us to use the talents that we have. And so then we do, and we wonder why we're so exhausted. Lord, I'm doing what you've asked me to do, but I'm just worn out. I don't have anything left to give. It's not that the doing is a problem. It's not that the service is not something you should be participating in. It's that you have to recharge your battery. You have to take care of yourself in the process. And this doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's just in your ministry or if it's in your family or if it's in your work. In your life, you have to take care of yourself. Otherwise, you don't have anything to give. And your guests come and they're thirsty. The people come to you in your life, your family, your coworkers, your friends, the people you're in ministry with, they come to you and you don't have anything to give them. You're all tapped out. So tonight, let's talk about what takes your energy. On your paper there's a column and it says, what takes your energy? I want you to think for a minute about you specifically. What is it in your life that sucks the energy from you? It could be people, it could be situations, whatever it is. I want you to write a list. What are the things that use your energy? give you another minute. Is anybody willing to share one of those things?
Shopping for groceries.
Yeah. It's exhausting, isn't it? Do you go with a list or do you just go and wander around the store trying to figure out what you need?
No, I don't do that. I take a list.
You do take a list. But even then, it's like, ugh.
And then having to come home and store it and wash this, wash that.
Yep. It takes a lot of energy. Now, I would guess there are some people who, they don't mind going to the grocery store, right? Is there anybody in here that's like, I kind of like going to the grocery store? Yeah? You like going to the grocery store. Yeah, so it's not, energy zappers are not the same for every person, right? What else? What are some other things that really take your energy? Yeah, Lisa?
Work.
Work.
Working is tiring, and the problem is if you don't have your life completely, really well organized, then you have to do all so much stuff after work,
yeah.
And then sucks your time and your energy.
So if work drains you, and then you still have things to do later, like how do you even find the strength or the energy to do that?
You just do.
You just have to do it. And my guess is there are things you'd like to be doing that just don't get done. You're just worn out. Yeah, right.
Yes.
Because there's just not enough of you.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah.
My chronic pain.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have a chronic pain, and that absolutely mm-hmm. takes your energy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For about half my life.
Ugh. So mm-hmm. sorry. It's really hard.
It's okay.
You've learned to live with it, but it doesn't mean that it's easy. Yeah. It's really hard. Yeah.
I said small talk.
Yeah. Well, you probably are an introvert, Lee, and thank you for sharing that. That is, I know for you, that probably was hard, right?
Well, I felt weird saying it, but I was like, that's
true.
Definitely true.
But it's true. It's really true. Believe me, I have a lot of people in my life who are strong introverts, and I have learned how hard it is for them. Small talk is like death.
I have a brother.
Yeah. People won't go places if they don't know people because they're like, I can't do it. I just can't do it. It just sucks the energy out of you, doesn't it? Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Linda.
People who ask the same thing over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they not listening?
Call me for the same phone number. But I look like a phone book.
Yeah.
Write it down.
Yeah. Yeah, you are convenient for them. And so you're just constantly doing things for them that they really should be doing for themselves. Yeah, it just takes your energy. Because you could be spending your time doing other more important things. Right?
Well, other things.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah. Caregiving for an elderly.
Yes. It takes a lot of energy, doesn't it? A lot of energy. For the elderly, for somebody who's ill, for a child, takes a lot of energy.
Well, and I work in ministry because I work at Lifeway.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, for somebody who professionally works in ministry, or, you know, like you because you're a counselor, or anybody who works in that caregiving role, and then, you know, you're also in your Bible class leadership, you know, you almost get to that breaking point where you're always pouring into other people so much where you get to that point where you're like, for once, can somebody just pour into me?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's why you guys are here, right? You're like, you're this. I'm empty. I don't have anything else. Oh, there was my last few precious drops and now they're on the ground, right? I'm empty. There's nothing left to give. And I need to be filled up. If I'm going to give to anybody else, I need to be filled up. And what's true is that sometimes we have people in our lives who are willing and able to do that for us, and sometimes we don't. You know, I'm a professional counselor. People pay me to offer and to pour into their lives because, and that's what I do. because the people in their world don't have the capacity for that, right? Have you ever known somebody who was just really in a hard place? And after a while of you trying to support and encourage them, you just didn't have anything left to give. It was like they couldn't be filled up. They were this glass that couldn't be filled up. Like a magic trick, it just kept running off, right? Just like the hole in the bottom, it was a sieve, right? And so what's true is that we have to find a way to get refilled. We have to find a way to be filled up after we've given and given and given. And sometimes that is other people, but there are a lot of other things that we can do ourselves to refill. Okay, so now I want you to write a list of the things that give you energy. What is it in your life that energizes you? Give you one more minute. Share with us some of the things that you put on your energy list.
A clean room.
A clean room, right? Mm-hmm. Man, I'm with you. When I walk into a clean room, I'm like, oh, it just feels good. That energizes me, absolutely. Hey, Jim. What else?
Sleep.
Sleep gives you energy, absolutely. Now, not everybody sleeps well, isn't that true?
Mm. So true. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But when you get good sleep, it energizes you. What else?
Being alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, so if you don't know, introversion and extroversion are a scale. Introversion is on one side and extroversion is on the other. And you are somewhere on that scale. And what that means is, how do you recharge? Okay? So if you are closer to the introversion side, you typically recharge by being alone. Okay? And the opposite of that is what drains you, and that is often being with other people. It drains you. It's not that you don't love them, but it can be draining. And then for extroversion, what recharges you? Being with people. And what drains you? Too much alone time. So it's really important that you know that about yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so being alone recharges you. Yeah. Yes, Lee?
I said reading, which goes along with that.
Absolutely energizes you. So tonight, I want to share with you some things that you can do, some really practical things that you can do to take care of yourself so that you don't end up with an empty pitcher. Okay? So, we talked about sleep. Let's go there first. It's really important that the human body, as an adult, gets 8 to 9 hours of good sleep a night.
Ain't happening.
It's really hard.
Well, yeah.
It's really hard. It's hard for a variety of reasons. Sometimes it's hard because of our schedules. Sometimes it's hard because it seems impossible for us to actually sleep that long. And that usually speaks to something else that's going on. For me, I am a champion sleeper. Love to sleep. I could sleep all day. When I go to sleep, I'm usually out. Okay, now I wake up once or twice during the night, so I'm not sleeping solid every night, but I'm a champion sleeper. However, there have been many nights recently where I couldn't fall asleep. And the reason was there was so much on my mind. My mind was just going, and I couldn't turn it off. So oftentimes, those kinds of things keep us from sleeping well. There are a lot of reasons why we don't sleep well, and we're not going to go into all of those reasons tonight, but what's really important is that if you're not getting good sleep, if you're not getting good 7 to 9 hours of sleep a night on a regular basis, it's really important that you figure out why and what you can do to change that. Okay, a sound machine to drown out noise, blackout panels on your windows to drown out light, turning off your devices, your electronic screen devices, at least an hour before you go to bed. All of those things are significant. Not eating right before you go to sleep, exercising in the morning instead of at night. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do to get better sleep at night. Finding ways to unwind your brain so that your brain turns off before you go to sleep. Because the reason is, what happens when we sleep in REM sleep, you guys all know what REM sleep is. In REM sleep, your body goes into repair mode. That is when, at a cellular level, your body repairs itself. If you're not getting REM sleep, you're not getting those repairs, and it compromises your immune system, which then rolls into all these other problems, right? If you're not getting good sleep during that REM cycle, your brain takes everything you learned that day, everything you saw, everything you experienced, everything you learned, and it takes it from short-term memory and stores it in long-term memory. If you're not getting enough REM sleep a night, your memory is shot. You're not remembering things. College students are the worst. They just kind of limp through college. You know, think about it. How much do you really remember about college? I don't really remember that much, but I certainly studied a lot, right? I didn't commit those things to memory because I just wasn't getting enough sleep. So it's really important for your body that you be getting good sleep. That's a way that you recharge. That's how you take care of yourself. When you are rested, then you have more to give, okay? Let's see. What else did we talk about? We talked about connection, okay? We talked about introversion, extroversion. Connection is really important to take care of yourself, but you have to know who you are. If you are an introvert, you have to know that you have to have alone time. You cannot be always with people. You'll never recharge. If you're an extrovert, you have to know that you have to have time with people. So that's really important that you know yourself. And then it is really important that you connect with people, an introvert or extrovert. Introverts are going to connect in a one-on-one small group environment typically, and extroverts still need that one-on-one small group connection. Even though you love being in big groups with a lot going on, you really need that connect, that really deep connection with other people. That recharges your soul. That recharges your body. It gives you the opportunity to talk about things that are really important to you, that are really significant in your life. You really need that. Okay, so how many of you have heard of cortisol? Okay, we're hearing more and more about it. Well, what I know is that if you hug somebody for 30 seconds, you significantly reduce the cortisol in their body. That's what I knew for the longest time, but I wasn't really sure what that meant. So I did some research. When you are in a stressful situation, your adrenal gland releases adrenaline, okay? That's what makes you run really fast out of a fire or lift a car off of a child or fight somebody or run away from somebody, right? Adrenaline. Adrenaline wreaks havoc on your body. And so when the adrenaline is released, the adrenal gland also releases cortisol in the effort to balance out the adrenaline. The problem is, if the stress is high, if it's chronically high, the cortisol stays in your body. Now, let me tell you what cortisol does to your body. It affects your muscles. It decreases your cognition. It compromises your thyroid. It gives you spikes in your blood sugar. It decreases your bone density. It negatively impacts your sleep. It decreases your muscle mass. It wreaks havoc on your blood pressure. It compromises your immune system. it delays the healing of wounds in your body, and it increases abdominal fat, which has a stronger correlation to certain health problems than fat deposited in other areas of your body, like heart attacks, strokes, and cholesterol levels. So when we have chronically high levels of cortisol, we are physically impacting our body in a way that we have no idea. So that's what stress does. That's what always pouring out and having empty pitchers does to our bodies. There's got to be, something's got to give. We have to release that, okay? So one of the best ways to do that, sleeping well, connecting with others, exercising. How many of you like to exercise? Two of you. I'm just kidding. I do not like to exercise. I just don't.
It takes me so long to get to that
yes.
point.
Yes.
It's usually not worth it.
Right? So, but exercise is really important. Just moving your body. I am one of those people who, when I was growing up, when I was in my 20s, it was cost prohibitive to belong to a gym. Do y'all remember those days? They wanted like $150 a month to belong to a gym. I didn't have $10 extra a month in those days. I was working in the schools. So I just walked. Every day when I got home from work, I'd go outside and I'd walk. And I was in great shape. I would just walk. Everywhere I went, I'd walk. And then my life changed, and I became very sedentary. And I was sitting all day. By the time I got home, I was too tired. I didn't want to go do anything. But what I know is that I don't have to be a marathoner or a triathlete or a bodybuilder to get exercise in my life. You need to be moving your body. If you're walking, if you're doing yoga, if you're stretching, if you're playing basketball, if you're running, if you're doing calisthenics, it doesn't matter what it is, you need to be exercising. You need to be exercising daily. You need to be moving. Because have you ever watched the show Bones?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's a forensic anthropologist, and she can look at the bones of a skeleton and tell you everything about their life. And what I love about her is she talks about markers. There are markers on the bones that indicate he sat hunched over for long periods of time. And they come to find out this guy's like an accountant, and he sits at a desk hunched over. But the bones of his body have maintained the markers of that position of his life. There were other markers that indicated that this guy was he used his fingers. He turned out to be a violinist, right? So our body remembers what we do with it. If we're not moving our body on a regular basis, we're causing a lot of damage. Just basic exercise does a lot to reduce stress. And don't you feel better after you've actually done it? For me, sometimes I think maybe it's a placebo effect. I just know I'm supposed to do it, so then I naturally feel better. But it doesn't matter. I just know I feel better. My body feels better, and I know I did something good for my body. And I'm like, yes, good job, Aaron. One time in the last 3 months you've gone walking. Yes, right? You know? So it's really important. Exercise is really important. That one's obvious, right? We think we know that, but we still often don't do that enough. Eating. What you put into your body is really crucial to your self-care. You have to fuel your body with good food. You have to know, do you have food? I was diagnosed a few years ago with food allergies. It revolutionized my life. I realized that part of the reason I came home from work, sat in the chair and didn't get up until I rolled into bed was food allergies. I couldn't figure out why I was so lethargic. I had food allergies that were undiagnosed. Right? So recognizing what you put into your body. Sugar. Did you know that sugar is more addictive than crack cocaine?
Oh, yes.
Scientifically proven, it is more addictive than crack cocaine. It is wreaking havoc on our bodies. The amount of sugar in the foods that we eat is really hurting our bodies. It's hurting our brain. It's doing a lot of harm. And so when we recognize, okay, I'm going to leave these things out of my body and I'm going to put these good things into my body, that helps us to feel better. It helps our immune system. It helps our energy level. It gives us something to give to other people. It's really important. Quiet time. Whether you're an introvert or extrovert, you need quiet time. You need to recharge and refuel We live in a busy, loud world. My fiance was telling me that his when he goes to sleep at night, there's no noise. I didn't believe him. And then one day I was over there late, and I went into the bedroom, and I sat for just a second, and I realized, you're right, there is no noise. How is that possible? Now, he's out in Cyprus, so he's not in the middle of the city like we are. But what's true is most of us live in noise all the time. And if there's no noise around, what do? We turn noise on. Mm-hmm. I'd come home from work, I'd turn on my DVDs just so I could have noise in my house. But it's really important for us to stop, to meditate, to pray, to have an opportunity to listen to not just the thoughts in our own heads, but what the Lord is saying to us. Quiet time is really important. Your spiritual life helps you recharge. We know this as Christians, but oftentimes we're just not doing it enough. We're just not engaged. We just don't spend enough time knowing God. But there are, you know, the scriptures are full of promises that he makes to us about how he is always with us. He will never leave us. The most comforting things that we need when life is hard and we're feeling downtrodden, those are the places that we need to be going. And sometimes we just forget it and we just need a reminder. Boundaries, standing up for yourself. That's really hard for most of us. The majority of people are not direct, do not like confrontation, do not stand up for ourselves. And that's really hard. And that often creates more problems in our lives. And the water is like there's just pokes a hole in the pitcher and the water just drains out. When people are mean and unkind, and they take advantage, and they manipulate, and they push the boundaries. It's really hard. And so saying to somebody, you know, I'm sorry, I cannot do that, saying no is a good thing. Not just in boundaries with people who can be hard, but also remembering that if you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. Life is a balanced sheet. There is no extra at the end of the month. It has to balance. You have to have the margin in your life to do the extra things that show up. And if you have filled every moment of every day with something, if you've said yes to everything that comes along, then you're saying no to good sleep. You're saying no to eating healthy because you're tired and you're going to opt for convenience. You're saying no to exercise because there's not enough time. You're saying no to quiet time. You know, you're saying no to all these good things because you said yes to all these others. So it's really important that you recognize how do you do that. Creating. When you connect the right side of your brain, your creative brain, with the left side of your brain, the logical brain, you increase your capacity to solve problems. Everybody has a creative side. Some of us think that we do not. Some of us think, I don't have a creative bone in my body. But that's not true at all. Your creativity just may look different than what you think it should, or what other people around you, what their creativity looks like. So find what you're creative in. I want you to think back to when you were a little kid. What did you like to do? Because kids create all the time. That's what play is. Most kids don't spend their time doing math for fun. Some do. I have a friend. She likes to do math for fun. But most kids don't. What did you like to do when you were a kid? What was enjoyable? You were probably creating in that process. Were you building? Were you playing with clay? Were you using a hammer and a nail? Were you painting? What were you doing? How were you creating fantasy worlds? Those things are creative. Imaginative play, that's about creativity. And it's really important to do that in our lives. I don't feel very creative because I have a mom and two sisters who are really creative. They're really talented in that capacity. But I found some things that I enjoy doing. I like to quilt. The reason being because it's straight lines. I like that. That's soothing to me. That gives me energy. I am a very organized type A person. And a lot of times we don't think that we are creative, but that's not true. You just have to figure out what you're creative in. I love to paint. I struggle with more abstract painting because my mind struggles to work that way. I find the painting that I like the most are the things that are more linear, that have more shape to it, right? But it's still creating. It's stretching that part of my brain. As you grow, your brain loses its elasticity. The extreme piece of that, it becomes dementia and Alzheimer's. But research is finding more and more that when we access both sides of our brain, we are increasing that elasticity. We are keeping ourselves young. When you do something, if you're right-handed and you do something with your left hand, you are literally growing connections in your brain. Sometimes I do things just for fun. I open a bottle with my left hand, and I think, if I only had one hand, I could still open a bottle. And then I think, I just grew a new connection in my brain. It just feels good, right? Sometimes I do that. Sometimes I write left-handed, or I use my left hand to do. I mean, doing those kinds of things decreases your stress, grows your brain, increases your creativity. Okay, let me give you some ideas of some creative things that you can do. Because Napoleon Hill, who I had never heard of, but he is a guru when it comes to tapping into your ability to be successful, he said this: reduce your plan to writing, and the moment you do, you will add tangible form to your intangible desires. How many of you journal? Anybody in here a journaler? That's awesome. I have always striven, I don't know if that's a word, to journal. And I just stink at it. It's not something that comes naturally to me, but it's one of the most powerful things you can do. Journaling your thoughts, however you do it, whether you start with a sentence stem or you just sit down and write about your day, it's really powerful. Anybody heard of mandalas? Okay, it's an art form that is in a circle. And the concept is that as you are being artistic in coloring the mandala with a colored pencil or a marker, or using feathers or shells or puffs or something that you glue onto the mandala, the concept is you're meditating in that process. And there's a lot of great scriptures to meditate on when you are just doing something that's creative. Coloring books. Have you seen the new adult coloring books? There is a reason why those are popular. They're soothing. Mm-hmm. It just feels good to just let your mind go and to do something creative with your body. Even if you're not drawing it, you're just coloring. There's a lot of rest in that. Zentangle is a doodling. It's an artistic doodle, Zentangle. And if you Google that, Zentangle, they teach you, okay, when you doodle this shape, it's called this. And when you doodle this shape, it's called that. And when you doodle this shape, it's called this. And what you do is you just make these lines on the paper. Like they'll tell you, just draw some lines like this. And then you go back and you doodle all these Zentangle shapes inside of them. So those of you who are expert doodlers, you probably would really love Zentangle. They end up looking really cool in the end. A brain dump. You just take everything that you're thinking and you put it on paper. You dump it. You sit down and you just write. That's a really great thing when you're really struggling with a solution to a problem. And you've got so much in your mind, you can't focus on solving the problem. You just dump it. You just sit down and you just write everything in. And then what will happen is you'll begin to see patterns and clarity will begin to emerge. Just get it off your head. Sometimes I do that. I've got too many things to think about to do, and so I write my list, and then I'm like, oh, okay, now I can focus on this other thing. I've gotten these to-dos out of my head. Goal setting. Setting goals is really important. Otherwise, you don't have anything to move towards. If you don't know what you're doing, where are you going? If you don't know where you're going, then how are you going to get there? productivity lists. Anybody in here a list writer? Yeah, I'm a list writer. And it helps you, helps you take care of yourself. Years ago, I decided to write a list for what I take when I pack, for what I'm going to pack when I go on a trip. And every time I go on a trip, I pull out the list. It helps me to focus. It just helps me stay focused, and so I'm not spending, and I spend a lot of time packing anyway, but I'm not spending even more time wandering around in a fog. What am I supposed to take? And then I get there on my beach vacation and forgot my bathing suit, right? You know, that's kind of a bummer. So productivity list, writing down the things that help you be more productive, that helps you take care of yourself. It creates a structure that allows you to, I've gotten that done. And then the last is Venn diagrams. You know what those are? This is something we learned in math, right? So you can have two, but lots of times you'll have three. Here's your circle. And so let's say you're trying to figure out where you want to go eat. So you're looking at, you want to stay in Houston, you want to eat Italian, and you only want to spend less than $20 a person. And so wherever that intersects right here, that's what you're going to do. But you can use Venn diagrams for a lot of different things to help you in your problem solving, to help you in your creativity. What do I want to do with my life? Well, I love this, this, and this. Let me see where those three things intersect. What kind of vacation do I want to go on? Well, it has to have these three qualities. Where do those things intersect? So those are just some examples of things that you can do to get your thoughts on paper, and it helps you to relax in that process. And then the last thing that I want to talk about tonight is hobbies. How many of you have a hobby? Good. More than I expected. Hobbies seem to be things of the past. We don't give ourselves enough time to have hobbies, but they're really important because having a hobby means you're doing something that you enjoy and that typically is challenging you. And when that happens, when you do something that's challenging, you feel more confident and competent when you're successful at it. So having a hobby is a really important way to spend your time. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to have the same hobby for all of your life. If you try knitting and you don't love knitting, you can move on to crochet or something else. Okay? So, but trying new things is really important. Having something that you do that's just for you, that's enjoyable, that is a challenge to you, that involves creativity, that problem solves, those are really important things. If who would like to share their hobby with us? Anybody? Yeah, Lee?
I don't know if it fits all your characteristics, but I'm a golfer.
So yeah.
That's like my time away from things. You're out in nature.
That's awesome.
You're playing a challenging sport.
That's awesome. You're increasing your skills. You're getting exercise.
You never really master it.
Yeah, it's great. That's a great hobby. Yeah, you don't have to, you know, your hobby, you don't have to be the best at it, right? It's a hobby. It's not a profession. So it's doing something just for the fun of it. Anybody else have a hobby?
I like making jewelry.
Yeah.
But in the last 2 years, I've been so busy with other people and just life.
Yeah.
That I just don't have time to make it, but I keep thinking ideas and creating ideas in my head. I need to have time to make it.
Yeah. You feel better when you're doing it, don't you?
No, but I haven't done it in 2 years, so it makes me sad that I didn't. Yeah. But it's great creating jewelry.
It is. It is. These things are therapeutic, right? All of these things are really therapeutic in terms of they just help you feel better. They help refill your pitcher. So I want you to think about something you've always wanted to do, maybe even since you were a kid, but that you've never tried. Is there anything that you think of? I really have always wanted to do that. When you think of it, write it on your paper. Do you want to share with us?
Sure.
Tell us, Laura.
And even my sisters know this. I've always wanted to own a horse. I've loved horses ever since I was a child. I rode when I was a child.
Yeah.
She still talks about it like
That sounds like something that should you should check into. You know, I mean,
we have to have the I mean, there are things that my husband grew up in a 5,000-acre cattle ranch. So he's like,
yeah, he's not so sure. But you know, you're not doing it for him, right? Yeah. What's something that you've always wanted to do that you never have?
Play bridge.
Play bridge?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. What'd you say?
I want to go fishing. Or fly fishing.
Fly fishing. Doesn't it look amazing?
Yeah.
Like, just because where do you go fly fishing? In the beautiful mountain streams, right? Wouldn't it just be so soothing to be there? Even if you stink at fishing, it would just be nice to be there, right? Why not do that? So life is too short to always want to do these things and never do them. Don't let your music die in you. Figure out what are these things that you can be doing that you enjoy, that fill your soul, that use your talents, that make you a better person, so that then you have more to offer others. So your homework, what I want you to do right now is I want you to look at the bottom of your paper of your handout, and it says, I want you to make an appointment with yourself. Okay? One thing. This week, today is Friday, so in the next, I'm going to give you 10 days, an extra 3 days in your week. Okay? One day between now and next Sunday, I want you to choose a time, a day and a time, and one thing you're going to do just to refill your pitcher, just to recharge your battery. And I want you to write it down. And your time frame can be short. It can be 30 minutes. Pick a time of day that you typically don't have something that's going on, or that you find that you fill up with other things that really aren't as important as you think. And write that down.
Can you repeat the instructions?
Yes. At the bottom of your handout, it says right there, this week, you choose a day, and you choose a time frame, and then you choose an activity that you're going to do during that time frame this week. You're going to commit to it. When you take care of yourself and you refill, you find that instead of having these empty pitchers, you have an opportunity to have a flowing water. There's just always something there to give because you're constantly refilling. If you don't have anything to give, you just don't have anything to give. And it's not about being selfish. It's about the reality of life. And the Lord knew that. Jesus went off by himself multiple times to recharge, to get away from the crowd, to pray, to be still, to be filled, so that then he had something to give. He had the hardest job on the face of the planet ever, from the beginning of time until the end of time. And he knew how important that was. He said to Mary and Martha, sit and listen. Be still. Fill up. Don't always be trying to do all these other things. It's really important for you to take care of yourself. Otherwise, you can't fulfill the Great Commission. You can't love others the way that I have asked you to. If you'll go to my email at the bottom of the page there, if you want to a list of these self-care topics, I will send you that in email. I'll send you a PDF of that. If you send me an email and you ask me, I'll send that to you next week. If there's anything that I can do for you, my contact information is on there. Please don't hesitate to reach out. I have two gift cards to give away. Does anybody have a birthday before the end of January? All right, how about February? Any February birthdays?